This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of Broadway's greatest stars of the 50s and 60s, Gwen Verdon, will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award this month from New Dramatists, the Playwrights Workshop. Verdon is a four-time Tony Award winner, best known for originating the roles of Lola in Damn Yankees and Charity in Sweet Charity. She's the standard against which many Broadway dancers are measured. A 1959 Time magazine review of Redhead, the musical, described her like this: "Her articulate hands, toes, and torso are parts of speech. Her body as an erotic spoof spelling sex in quotes as she overtilts a wayward hip or dislocates an amorous shoulder." Verdon's best-known shows like Charity, Damn Yankees, Redhead, and Chicago were choreographed by the late Bob Fosse, who was also her husband for several years. Since retiring from the stage, Verdon has acted in films such as Cocoon and The Cotton Club, and on TV, most recently, in an episode of Homicide. Let's get started with one of her songs from Sweet Charity.
If they could see me now, that little gang of mine. I'm eating fancy chow and drinking fancy wine. I'd like those Stumbo bums to see for a fact the kind of top drawer, first-rate chums I attract. All I can say is, wowee, look at where I am. Tonight I landed, pow, right in a pot of jam. What a setup, holy cow. They'd never believe it if my friends could see me now.
First, I want to say congratulations on the Lifetime Achievement Award from New Dramatists.
Thank you.
Now, I know that at the ceremony that Chita Rivera, Richard Adler, who co-wrote the songs for Damn Yankees, Cy Coleman, who wrote the music for Sweet Charity, Kander and Ebb, who wrote the songs for Chicago, they're just some of the people who will be participating in the tribute. Have you had many tributes like this before, and do you like them? Are they fun, or are they a little embarrassing?
I always feel like a fraud, believe it or not, because I've always had so much fun doing them, you know, doing the different shows, that suddenly, you know, everybody paying attention when I'm not doing anything is, well, it makes me feel guilty.
Since you're preparing for this tribute, I thought this would be a good opportunity to do a little retrospective of your life on Fresh Air. Let's start with your very early days. Your mother was a dancer and a dance teacher.
Yes.
So I imagine you grew up in an atmosphere where there was a lot of dance.
I thought everybody danced. I thought every mother and every daughter danced because she was also a performer. And I would go with her. I'm speaking of being 2 years old. And I just thought that all those women had children and that everybody danced.
Now, I read about you that you had rickets when you were very young. And,
yes.
And that damaged your legs.
Me and O.J. Simpson, yes. We both had rickets. You're born that way. I guess it's from some kind of malnutrition. But with corrective exercise, not surgery, which they wanted to do, and my mother wouldn't allow it, but the orthopedic surgeon explained to her that one muscle was too long on the outside of the leg, and the inner muscle on the leg. That one was too long, and the outside one was too short. So it would allow the knee joint to swing out, so my legs made an X.
Huh.
If you can picture that. Anyway, she decided to, through exercise, shorten the inner muscle and stretch the outside one.
And did that work?
It sure did, that and corrective boots. They never operated.
What did the corrective boots look like?
Oh, God. They were just dreadful. They were big, high-top brown things, and the heel was very crooked. It would make me walk on the outsides of my feet so that the inner muscle would stay short. I must say it worked because within, I would say, 2 to 4 years, my legs looked straight, though I had to wear these shoes, corrective shoes, whenever I was home or in school.
I don't understand how you were able to dance with your knee, with your legs in such bad shape and having to wear these corrective boots all the time.
Oh, no, I didn't dance with them on. And I did all kinds of exercises. My mother kept saying, yes, you're doing ballet. But instead of my heels being together in a turned out position, I was always doing everything with my toes as much together as possible, which would keep stretching that outside muscle.
So you did almost corrective dance.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess I'm wondering if you were ever self-conscious when you started to dance on stage, since you grew up so self-conscious about your legs.
You know, I was so young when I began performing that I don't remember being self-conscious. I do remember in 1959, I think it was, again it was Red Hit, and it was the first time I ever read reviews. And I never read reviews on any of the other shows. And in Red Hat, they kept calling me a great beauty, an Arlene Dahl type, who is a great beauty. And I became very embarrassed, I did develop a stage fright.
After that review, you developed stage fright?
Yes.
Why did that review lead to stage fright? It's such a flattering review. Why did it lead to stage fright?
It's very flattering, but I've never thought, and I still don't, and I know it's the truth, I am not a great beauty. I feel like one on stage, but I certainly don't look like one.
But don't you think a lot of beauty on stage comes from projecting that feeling?
I agree. But somehow, I mean, I felt very good and very secure, strangely enough, when they said I looked like a red-haired Fanny Brice or a female Charlie Chaplin. And I mean, I'm honored to be compared to people like that, but I felt like an absolute fool being compared to Arlene Dahl. And I thought those critics must be sitting in the back row of the third balcony.
So that made you feel like a fraud?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you started getting stage fright, what were the symptoms and how did you deal with it?
I would shake. My mouth would go dry. And I was afraid to be on stage.
Who, would somebody have to talk you onto stage?
I'd get out there and then panic.
Well, you can't panic on stage, though.
Well, I did. They say you can't sneeze on stage, but I did.
What's a time when you actually panicked on stage?
It, again, was during Red Head. And I would be out there with the entire cast, and everyone would leave, and I would have to sing a song. And sometimes I would just walk off and get my aunt, with whom I had to play the next scene. And I just skipped the song. I couldn't sing it.
What would the director say when you did that?
He was my husband. He understood. He sent me to an excellent doctor, and I was fine. But then I was also given an article to read about Laurence Olivier, who also had stage fright and would turn his back. Everyone thought, what a unique way of playing. Being an actor, to be able to turn your back on the audience and play a scene. So whenever I would get this feeling, because then by that time I'd be afraid of being afraid, and when that would happen, I would turn my back and sing the song. And it worked.
Did people in the audience assume that this was innovative stage direction?
Well, if it worked for Laurence Olivier, it was going to certainly have to work for me.
My guest is Gwen Verdon. This month she receives a Lifetime Achievement Award from New Dramatists. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is one of the great Broadway stars of the 50s and 60s, Gwen Verdon. This is Gwen Verdon in a show-stopping number from Damn Yankees.
Whatever Lola wants, Lola gets, and little man, little Lola wants you. Make up your mind to have no regrets. Recline yourself, resign yourself, you're through.
I always get what I aim for, and your heart and soul is what I came for. Whatever Lola wants.
I think Damn Yankees was the first Broadway show that you worked on with Bob Fosse, who later became your husband.
True.
What was it like the first time you worked with him and danced to his choreography? What was different about his choreography and direction from what you had experienced before?
The first thing that I noticed was it was so amusing. I know it was sensuous. I know it was all of those things. But it was done with such a sense of humor, and also done with the innocence of a child. So you weren't acting sexy. It just came out that way. Nope. And I was amazed at the training, because I had excellent training in many disciplines of dance. And I was amazed at how disciplined and what was required with Bob's work.
What was required of you that you...
Ballet, tap, isolation, which I had learned from East Indian dancing. And, I mean, there was his humor. I had worked with Jack Cole, who always did very sensuous women. He did Gilda for that number, Gilda from the movie, Gilda for Rita Hayworth, I think. He's probably more famous for that number. But it's not funny. And Bob would do the same kind of thing, not the same steps, but his point of view was the flip side of that. It was just making fun of being sexy, which comes out much more sexy.
Do you feel that you played Lola, the devilish seductress, as funny?
I played it as a child. Have you seen little girls all dressed up in their mother's clothes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and lipstick smeared all over their face. I did it like that.
When you said that there was isolation required for Bob Fosse's choreography, do you mean like just moving one shoulder or an elbow or just like one part of the body?
Yes. And it was extremely musical. That was up to Bob. I mean, the music was the groundwork, but he would catch every little thing. If you moved your little finger, there would be a ting on a triangle. So, and there was an economy to the movement. You didn't just sort of blast out and dance. It was isolation and discipline. That's the only thing I can think of.
Would he do the moves to show you what he wanted?
Yes, and they were hysterical. And I once said, I don't think I can do that in high heels. So Bob put on high heels and did it.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
well, he believed me, but he had to find out for himself.
Well, could he do it in high heels?
Sure he could.
So then you were forced to do it.
Not forced. I thought, oh, as soon as I could see how he did it in heels.
Well, what was the trick?
It was not a trick. It was a certain step in Lola where you keep twisting, and I kept thinking the heels are, one heel is going to scrape by my other foot.
So what was the solution he came up with?
Just do it. And if you're turned in enough, you have to be very turned in, which worked just great for me because that's how I studied dance. That's how my mother taught me when I was two.
Because of your muscle problems.
Yes.
You know, I can't walk in high heels. I can't imagine how anyone could really do tricky dance moves in them.
Well, the weight is distributed differently. You have to take it in your thighs. Some people take it in their knees. And then they always have problems.
You work with Bob Fosse on several musicals, New Girl in Town, Redhead, Chicago, Sweet Charity, as well as Damn Yankees. Were there particular things that he liked to use you for that he thought of as being Gwen Verdon moves, you know, that were just saved for you?
No, you know, because you can do the same movement on somebody else. And because they're built differently and have a different point of view, it does not look the same. And Bob was very good about, I guess, using what the person had. I don't know what I've got, but I know when Annie Rankin replaced me in the show, she has great legs and she can jump even in high heel shoes. I was never a jumper, even barefoot. And so Bob would use this extension that Annie had and the fact that she could leap like that. Great grand jeté. And so he would change the steps.
Once you and Bob Fosse were married, was it any harder or easier to work together?
No, because I never thought of him when we were working as my husband. In fact, Judy Garland came backstage one time and she said, "Oh, your husband's done a fabulous job." And I actually said, "Who?" I don't associate that at all.
Why was it easier to not think of him as your husband?
It was not that I just did not think of him. He wasn't my husband when we were working. He was the director. He was the choreographer.
There was a period after you married that you stopped performing. What was that period like for you? Did you miss performing a lot?
Not at all. No, and I stopped because I very definitely wanted a baby. Oh, boy, how I wanted a baby. And I got one. And I also knew that the first 3 years of a child's life is when they learn to learn. I mean, it is just so valuable, that time. Now they call it bonding. I just call it learning. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I wanted it to be fun to learn. So I just wouldn't work. Actually, it was 2 years and 9 months. I would do television once in a while, but not a Broadway show.
So you went back to the stage for Sweet Charity.
Yes.
Were you glad to get back? Were you ready?
I loved that property. I really liked it. I liked the character. And she was so upbeat, and no matter how many times she'd get knocked down, she'd just pick herself up, and, you know, she'd never become bitter or depressed, sad for a while, possibly. But there are so many bitter people in the world. You see them on buses yelling at themselves. And Charity was never like that.
Was there a moment when you decided, this is it, I'm retiring from dance? Or from, you know?
Yes. The last performance of Chicago, which was in San Francisco in 1978.
Why did you decide after that last performance of Chicago that was it?
Because I was over 50 years old. I couldn't do it the way I wanted to do it. Everyone else thought I was doing it just fine, but not me. And as long as I had set such a standard for myself, I was not going to embarrass or disappoint myself. So I just don't do it in public.
Do you have any acting roles in the works that I should know about?
No, but I just did two, which I'm very proud of, because they finally have started thinking of me as a character actress. I've always thought of myself as being a character actress. I mean, I'm nothing like Charity or Essie Wimpo in Redhead. So those were all character parts. I never just played the cute little ingenue, not even in Can-Can. Anyway, on the television show, which has already been on, called Key West, I played a nun. And in the television show called Homicide, I played a 90-year-old woman.
Do you like doing TV?
Yes.
Good. Well, I look forward to seeing more of you on TV.
Thank you.
And in movies. I thank you very much for talking with us, and I want to say congratulations again on the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Thank you so much.
Gwen Verdon receives her Lifetime Achievement Award from New Dramatists May 18th. I want to remind you that we have a special concert coming up this Friday with Arthur Alexander. We'll be broadcasting live from the Public Radio Conference in Washington, D.C. Arthur Alexander is a soul singer and songwriter whose songs have been recorded by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Otis Redding. He's just recorded his first album in 20 years called Lonely Just Like Me, and I want to play you something from it and invite you to tune in for our concert on Friday. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.